this company came onto my radar because the prior CEO of this company came onto the show. So we just saw California Pizza. We just saw California Pizza go bankrupt. So my question is, the CEO of this company came onto the show. And when the CEO of this company came onto the show, I started to follow the company. I started to look into the company. Actually, you know, I started going back to the restaurant. It's a household name company. And she's no longer the CEO. It's a female. She's no longer the CEO. It's a new CEO now. I may reach out to her to see if she want to come back. She may not after this episode. But ladies and gentlemen, the next company, restaurant, I think is going to go bankrupt. Drum roll, please. Red Robin. Red Robins. Red Robin, ladies and gentlemen, Red Robin is the next company that I think major brand restaurant that's probably going to be on a chopping block. Why do I say that? We're going to look at it together. We're going to look at the financial reports together, and we're going to look at the impact of, I like to look at how was companies performing before and how they're facing up now. So we're going to look at these particular companies, right? Here we go here. What y'all are saying here in these comments. ACI, what do you think about them? Their recent IPO. ACI Albertsons, I think that's a grocery store, right? Am I right, Chuck's Chilling? Oh, okay. Somebody said the owner of DraftKings sold their shares. Why? Let me see how good y'all up on, how good y'all are up on this before we get into Red Robins. Why do you see a major sale after IPO? Why do you see insider sale after IPO? Why is that a big deal? And what is that called? When you see major companies, right? When you see major company IPOs, why do you see a major sale? From the insiders. Giant 864 said the owners of DraftKings sold their shares. That's why the shares tanked. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going ahead and give it to you. So if y'all don't probably know. Chuck is Chilling said to make up for lost profits. Mike, what's going on? You shot me an email before the show, Mike. I sent your email back too. What's going on? Mike is out there in Canada. So Giant said, he says a pump and dump. No, it's not a pump and dump. I want everybody to Google right now. Google, what is a stock lockout period? I'm teaching you guys and girls how to fish. What is a stock lockout period? What is a stock lockout period? Look up the lockout period of a stock. While y'all look that up, Google, what is a stock lockout period? Some people are saying, you know, Evan is saying that's normal. Evan got it right. He's a secondary sale. FTO captures their profits. Okay. Look up the lockout period, ladies and gentlemen. This is why it's very important when you look at an IPO. What is the lockout period of that IPO? What is the lockout period? Why is the lockout period important for a particular IPO? King Carter, you said 90 days. Sometimes it could be 90 days or 180 days. But what is it, King Carter? What is the lockout period? The lockout period. So while y'all look that up and tell me what the lockout period is, I could say it, but I like when people look things up and learn because it sticks with you when you see it, right? Evan, see, there you go. Evan got it right, too. I didn't want Evan to say it. I know he was going to probably know it. So, Olivia says, stock lockout periods to capture profits. I want to hear somebody say it. Pretty much, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a company like, before Uber brought Postmates, Postmates was going to come to the market. Robinhood is going to IPO. All right, hold on. Here goes Chuck. He said, I got locked out when my company went public. Had 2 days in the year to sell while the price fell to nothing, right? King Carter, you got it right. They can't sell the shares until then, right? So anyway, let's say if I own Postmates or Robinhood, and the company is getting ready to go public. And I brought 100 shares. I brought shares for $100. I mean, I have friends, plenty of friends, that purchase shares of a company for pennies, say a dollar. The company goes public. Once that company goes public, they say, hey, when this company goes public, there's a 90-day lockout period. A 90-day lockout period means you cannot sell your shares. If you was an insider, you cannot sell your shares until 90 days after the market, after the company is IPO. Sometimes it's 180 days, right? But you can look that up in the IPO. You have a lockout period for this long. So people who bought the stock for a dollar, the company IPOs and it shoots up to $60, they have to hold it and wait, and they only can sell at a particular time. And that's why you see CEOs, boom, that lockout period expires. They want to cash out, capture some of their profits, right? Like I was saying earlier. So you have to pay attention to IPOs and their lockout periods, and you may see insiders sell 30, 90 days into whatever their lockout period is. Because think about it. If I had brought Uber for $5 and it's gone public and it's now $60, $40, I may want to sell some, keep some. But you have to wait for a while. So always look up, if you're buying an IPO, look out, what is the lockout period? Royce. What's going on, Royce? King Royce here. A predetermined amount following an IPO offering where the shareholders restricted from selling their shares. You see, exactly, right? So you jumping in that IPO, you jumping on it, and all of a sudden it tanks. 30 days or 90 days later, the CEO sold a bunch. He's not selling because of a bad company. He's trying to lock some of his profits in. Olivia said, fine, I won't answer any more questions. You got it too, Olivia. You got it too. So now we're going to get back to what we're doing. What's up, Prince? I was able to catch the show. He said, what's up, Prince? I was able to catch a love show. I don't know what you mean by that, Keith, but what's going on, Keith? Keith's been a long-time follower of the show. Absolutely get the money. All right, so let's go back, ladies and gentlemen. Red Robbins. Let's look at Red Robbins' financial reports because I don't like to go off of what he said, she said. Some people like to talk about different things. Y'all give me 1 second. I'm going to have to switch my microphone here. What I told you, ladies and gentlemen, guys and girls, about donating. You know, I'm not a big person on donating, but thank you, Keith. He donated $5 to me. I always tell people, don't donate to me, support me. You know, don't. I'm sorry about that. I had a little sound glitch, but don't donate to me, support me, right? Can y'all hear me now? Y'all should be able to hear me now. I see some people commenting saying they can't hear me. I had to change out my microphone real quick. Y'all should be able to hear me now. Y'all still can't hear me? 1 second. Okay, I can hear. Okay, got it. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Back on. All right, I'm okay. Well, Keith, thanks, man. I appreciate it, Keith. He says, shout out to you, Prince. It's been a while, brother. I have lost out on a lot in the market. Unfortunately, work has been insane. So, Keith, explain. Why have you lost out on the market, unfortunately? Why is that? But thank you. You always tell people don't donate to me to support me. Purchase, you know, buy the book series, get you an investor show mug or whatever. But I appreciate it. Thanks, Keith. Well, let's get back to it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get into these financial reports of Red Robbins. Let's get into the financial reports of Red Robbins. Let me see if I pull the right one here. Nope, that's not the right one.
Y'all give me a second while I find my screen here. I got a couple of them open. Let's see here. I think it's this one I brought over. All right, so this is the annual report for Red Robins, ladies and gentlemen. This is the annual report for Red Robins that came out last year. It came out February. This is their report for 2019. So now let's look at some of their financial statements, right? You're looking at their total revenues. They had their revenues kind of growing here, $1.3 million, which is pretty low for a big company like that. $1.3 million. And you're looking at, let's look down here. Financial statements, they had their coming in at $1.3 million. Loss of income from operations. The cash flow data. And this is what I don't like right here. Look at 2019. This is the golden sign with Red Robin. Red Robins was netting losses for the last 2 years. You can see here, you're talking about, I think this report is in millions. I hope it is. I think it's in millions of thousands, one of them. But let's say if it's in, they made $1.3 million last year. So let's look at their net income losses. So last year, 2019, let me put this up here. Last year in 2019, this is the pre-COVID. We're going to look at the pre-COVID. One second. Let me get my guy. Yeah, okay. What did Keith, where you at? Keith said, I haven't been able to pay very close attention to certain buys. I haven't been able to buy anything in the last 2.5 months. But Keith, I showed you how you can automatically invest and forget about it. You don't have to be a day trader to continually invest. Right? If you got an employee 401k, put money into the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ continuously. Right now, the NASDAQ has been booming. This has been a year of the NASDAQ. You can easily set up automatic investment every month. Whether I like it or not, money's going to go into the S&P 500. Money's going to go to the NASDAQ, whether I like it or not. Now, if I have time off and I can move money around, then do it. But you should automatically and stay investing, right? Olivia said, I'm old. I have to go to bed now. Keep up the great work. Love everything you do, sir. Thank you for educating so many. Thank you very much, Ms. Olivia. Thank you. Appreciate it. But yes, you have to go back, Keith, and look at, you should always be investing. Like, I understand, hey, man, I got to work. I got to do X, Y, Z. But you should always have money going into the market at all times. Dollar cost averaging, DCA, DCA, DCA. And every now and then, if you're able to catch a sale or you got time off, then you just buy some extra. But in the meanwhile, you should be constantly investing, having dividends reinvested at all times and taking advantage of the dip. All right? Man, these lights are hot, but okay. Now let's get back into it. Pre-COVID-19, we have pulled up here. We have the earnings for Red Robins. This was pre-COVID-19, right? Let me find my screen here. So before, in 2019, they netted a $7,900 loss. Yes, right here. It's in thousands instead for, okay, in thousands, right? So if they're netting a loss already, they lost money in 2019. So they lost money in 2018. They lost even more money in 2019. This is before the COVID hit. Now that COVID hit, what do you think is going to happen? Now, the company was pre-COVID. The company was already on a 2-year losing run. It was already losing. You guys just saw, yes, did they make money, but they was netting losses for 2 years. Now, this is the crazy part. I don't know what happened to Red Robins, but you look at Red Robins. Let's go back down here, and you're looking at their net income. Back in 2015, they was profitable. Then they slowly decreased in 2016. They had an uptick in 2017. Then somewhere in 2018, something started to happen to the company. So they started to lose. They was losing money in 2018. They lost money in 2019. This is before the COVID even hit. They was already losing money, ladies and gentlemen. So if you was already losing money before the COVID, what do you think they're at now? Now let's look at the balance sheet. They're losing money. Also look at their total long-term debt. $206,000. $206,000 in long-term debt. So a company with a lot of debt, low amount of money coming in, look how much they reported in cash, $30,000. Total assets, $1.2 million. That's if they sold with their stores and everything. But a low amount of cash, look at their cash to debt ratio. Look at the cash to debt ratio, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the debt, look at the cash. You guys and girls can see this right here in the financial report. And this is 2019 when everything was supposed to be going well. Everything was going well in 2019, supposedly, right? So this is when everybody else is having record profits and the market is going up, supposedly doing well for the restaurant industry. And you're looking at a company with a low amount of debt, a low amount of cash, and a high amount of long-term debt, right? So when I see you with a low amount of cash, a little bit of debt, and you're netting a loss, and then you get the COVID to come in, major problems for Red Robins. Let me see what y'all saying in the comments. Let me see what y'all say in the comments here, ladies and gentlemen. I can hear you. Well, Lucy, stay blessed. Thank you very much, Ms. Lou, for checking us out. Q said, I definitely have the 401k going and funds deposited in my TD Ameritrade. Now, Keith, do you have the funds just deposited into your TD Ameritrade, or do you have the funds deposited into your, are they going into an investment? Are they just going into your TD Ameritrade just to go to cash, or are they going into your investments, right? So you can set up on E-Trade to where not only does my money go directly into my E-Trade account, but I can have it be directly invested automatically, right? That's how you can look at it. Michael said, Prince, are you worried about the artificial bubble the Fed's created will burst and the stock market will collapse? Mike, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. If I know it's, you know, I'm kid friendly show here, but I'm trying to think of something that's kid friendly metaphor here. But if you continuously, roll the dice, you will be correct. Put it like that. If you continuously roll the dice, you'll be correct. The market is going to crash again, ladies and gentlemen. I just don't know when. We had a flash crash. We had a big crash in March, right? And now we've been on a big uptick. And am I worried about an artificial bubble? No, I'm not. Why I'm not worried about an artificial bubble? Because I'm looking long term. In the meanwhile, the bear will win. In the short term, the bear will win. We'll probably have another big downturn. We see airlines. Airlines are slowed down. But I'm not worried about it because I'm looking long term. I brought a house. The housing market could crash tomorrow morning. I don't care because I'm looking long term. This wasn't a short term investment for me. It was like, okay, I can buy this house. I like it. Pretty cool. And over the long term, I can keep the house, right? So I don't look at, oh my God, this house is, I'm not worried about what's happening tomorrow. Don't be caught in the near sight. Look down the road. Look down the road, Mike. I'm not worried about it. Yes, it will happen. We'll fix it. We've had worse of crashes than this. We had, think about it. If you think American market is bad now, imagine we was in World War II, World War I. Great Depressions, you know, when we pulled off the gold standard. So as a long-term investor, looking long-term, I can't make no money being fear. Don't be put in prison by your own fears. So many of us, we put in prison by our own fears. If I wasn't scared, I would have bought a whole bunch of Tesla. If I wasn't scared, I knew Apple was a good company. Yeah, I knew Apple was going to do pretty good. I knew Microsoft was going to do pretty good. I know Google is a good company. I know Amazon. It don't take a rocket science to figure that out. But sometimes you get scared. Then sometimes you try to get too smart. The less you know about investing, the better. How does that make sense? Because a person like Keith, not saying Keith don't know nothing about investing, but take Keith who just put money into his 401k. and he forgot about it. Now you sitting over there on the sidelines waiting for the proper time to jump in, and you reading all these reports. But guess what? Keith has probably made money during this time frame, and you made nothing. I've had a buddy who's been waiting since 2015 for the market to collapse. He's almost a millionaire right now, but he's been waiting. He has a ton of cash, hundreds of thousands of dollars that he just has sitting in his bank account waiting on a collapse. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you waiting on a collapse? He's 20 something years old. He's waiting on a collapse. Prince, do you think the market is going to collapse? Prince, do you think the market is going to collapse? Prince, I'm waiting on the market to collapse. Guess what? He ain't made nothing, right? He ain't made nothing during this whole time. You can don't get in prison with your own fears, right? When I look at certain things, I'm not looking at tomorrow. I don't care if the market crashes tomorrow, right? Unless I got a call option. Now, I do have a call option on Apple, but I've had this before the Apple craze. I've had a June 2021 call on Google, not on Google, but Apple for probably a couple weeks now. It's doing pretty good now. It's up 55% the last time I looked at it. So if Apple shut down tomorrow, yeah, I might be a little worried, but I know it'll get it figured out by next summer. So don't be a prisoner of your fears till you're too smart. You're watching on, you know, you're watching the market go up. And I did the same thing. I'm gonna give y'all a real story. Real investment story right here. 2008, when the market crashed, we started to come out in 2009. And then people was telling, in 2009, nobody said, hey guys, we're out of the recession. We're back to business. We just had the longest running bull and nobody believed it was a bull. In 2009, 2010, everybody was like, oh, the worst hasn't came yet. We're going to get worse. It's about to get worse. It's about to get worse. So I'm waiting on it to get worse. Don't understand dollar cost averaging. I'm waiting on it to get worse. Don't understand market cycles. Don't understand a trough. Don't understand expansions. Don't understand peaks. Don't understand recessions or contractions. I don't know. I'm early 20s. I don't know. I'm just like, oh man, you know, I pulled all my money out and was waiting on the world to end, because that's how everybody made it seem. When we came out of 2008, you can see the bottom of 2008 was March of 2009 when you look in the rearview mirror. But go back to March of 2009. Go back to March of 2010. Nobody was saying, guys, you know what? The financial crisis is behind us. We are now in a bull market. Nobody believed it. Nobody said we was in a bull. 2015, people were just like, oh, we really haven't got out of 2008. You know, 2000, we're about to go back down because 2008. Everybody was just talking about 2008. And we're talking about the rain. It will rain again, ladies and gentlemen. But I don't go outside every day with an umbrella waiting on the rain. I don't be like, well, you know, they say it's going to rain. I'm going to just wait. No, I live my life. And then if something does happen, I keep cash to the side. I keep, you know, a bonds, maybe some long-term bonds. I may keep cash. That's my hedge against the market. So if we woke up tomorrow and the market went down 50%, there's nothing in my portfolio that I'm scared of. Only two companies I'm scared of is Uber, because it's unprofitable and it's new, and Spice. I got that thing. It's unprofitable and it's new. Those are the only two things I'm scared of. Everything else, all that McDonald's and Southwest Airlines and Disney and Apple and Tesla, I may be a little worried, but not too much. They're too big. Some companies are just too big. There's too much cash on hand. They can make it through a hard time. Red Robins, they got a little bit of cash. They got a whole bunch of debt, and they have little to no income. They're steadily losing little cash, a lot of debt, and right now they just got hit with a hard time. They may not make it through to the other side. Right? So let's go with y'all saying. Let's go with some of y'all. Remember I told y'all about good, solid advice, brother. Fillmore 24P just donated $20. Well, I told y'all about donating to me, man. I'm not a charity case. You know, I'm okay. I'm fine. Y'all don't have to donate to me, but I appreciate it. I appreciate anybody that wants to support me. But you have, instead of support me, support my products. Don't donate to me, support my products, but I appreciate that. Okay. Drake James said, what's going on, Drake James? He said, I guess he tagged somebody. He said, yeah, they have been in trouble for a while. Yes, Red Robins. Red Robins. Chuck is chilling, says they have an old business model, out with the old. That's what happened with time. That's my guy, Mike Davis. He said, that's right, bro. We are scared. Sometimes things are too good to be scared. And Mike, remember this, what they always say. Favor. What is the word? I'm messing up the quote here. Now I feel bad. Something about being bold. Right? When you're bold, when everybody is fearful. Mike Davis, let me ask you this question, Mike Davis. You still online here. What did Warren Buffett say about people being fearful? When people are fearful, what are you supposed to do? When people are fearful, what are you supposed to do? Like right now, everybody's comfortable with Apple. Everybody want to buy Apple stock. I don't want Apple stock right now. There you go, John. He got it. Fortune favors the bold. Fortune favors the bold. Be greedy. You got, look at that, Giant 864. Where are you from, Giant 864? You are 100% correct. Be greedy. When everybody else is scared, be greedy, ladies and gentlemen. Dion, you got that right. Invest. So when everybody is scared, think about it right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm at a point in my life right now to where I have enough cash flow to take care of my family, to take care of myself and my family. I don't need to have a bunch of cash flow coming in from investing. So guess what I can do? I'm talking about, he's from DC by the Ware, Carolina. All right, Giant 864, nice. Favor, you got to be bold. It's like driving a ship, and you see these, Charlie Munger said it best. It's like driving a ship, you see some hard seas come in front of you. You know it's going to be a hard sea. You don't know how big the sea going to go up. So what? You buckle your chin strap, you go through it, you ride the waves, and we're going to make it out to the other side. Some people see the seas coming, and they're jumping off the boat. It's people call me, Prince, sell everything, send me the cash. Okay. It's some people that just stay right there with me. It's some people that say, Prince, I want to invest more. Now, you fast forward to August. In March, I was fearful. I was a little scared in March. I was like, I saw Uber at an all-time. All these companies were just down in March, right? I brought some, but I didn't go crazy because I thought we was going to go further. I wasn't scared of the bottom. I just didn't know what the bottom was. Yeah, okay. 864 Greenville, South Carolina. Okay. All right. Now, Lady A says, Red Robins better get PUA or a loan too. See, that's what they already have, Lady Ace. They already, I didn't even go into it when the CEO was expressing about borrowing money, getting more loans. But when you have little to no cash sitting on hand, little cash on hand, and you have all these loans, then I look at you before COVID. How was Red Robins doing before COVID, ladies and gentlemen? We can see it was already losing. This is 2019. This is the 10K report. It was already losing before that, right? And when people are losing before that already, guess what happens? The company was already losing, and they're taking on more debt. What happens? Can they make it through? Southwest Airlines got better financials than Red Robins. Shout out to Denny Post. Miss Denny Post. Very nice CEO. Red Robins headquarters is here in Denver, Colorado. And I watched the CEO, Red Robin, speak, and I started following the company. And I spoke with the CEO. The CEO was nice. She gave me a phone number. She came onto the show, all that great stuff. And I really started to follow the company. And it was having hard times in 2019. Now in 2020, I'm like, if y'all was losing money back when everything was upswinging, and I went to Red Robin's, great restaurant, great burgers, the croissant burgers, the best. But if you were struggling back then, and Red Robins makes their money, ladies and gentlemen. If you go back and listen to that episode, Red Robins makes their money due to traffic. Very rare. Every Red Robins is located near Costco's, malls, shopping centers, movie theaters. All Red Robins are located near a mall, shopping center, movie theater. Think about it. Think about the nearest Red Robins you know. It's located near a mall, shopping center, Costco's,